welcome to Disciple Making Mala, a podcast to encourage, inspire, and equip you to make disciples in your home and in the world. Okay, so we've spoken about sicknesses now mainly, because that's also a clear thing. People are not ashamed usually to say, hey, I'm sick, hey, I'm in pain, hey, I've just come from the doctor, or I've just struggled with this. Now, deliverance, casting out evil spirits, is a whole different ball game. We've seen in the practice of Jesus and the disciples that they treat both quite similarly, that sometimes it's even healing and deliverance are almost seem to be used interchangeably. But how do we go about that practically? Isn't that dangerous?
Well, certainly deliverance is a lot more emotionally loaded. I think we've experienced people who, yeah, even just thinking about the possibility that a family member of theirs was oppressed by a demon made them extremely angry, whereas they were very happy to admit that that person had mental illness and struggled with various things and so on. So we've got to be careful, got to be sensitive, of course. Just walking up to somebody saying, hey, you have a demon, unless the Holy Spirit has clearly told you to do so, is not wise. However, also we do it like Jesus, that when the demon shows itself, we cast it out. Jesus, yes, there was that one time where the demon interacted with Jesus and Jesus said, what's your name? And it answered Legion. And then Jesus cast it out and it asked, oh, can we go into the pigs? So Jesus said, yes, you can go into the pigs. That is the only conversation we see Jesus having with a demon or demons. Every other time he says, shut up, be quiet, get out. And that is also what we see in the book of Acts, the apostles following Jesus' example. That is what we ought to be doing. Because can we trust anything that demons say? If somebody is being taken over in that moment by a demon in speech, and we hear words, a voice that is not from that person, that is, I think, a horrible experience for the person. And one that we should just do like Jesus, be quiet, in Jesus' name, get out. Yeah, with deliverance, many times, as we said, it can look very similar to sickness. Even in the New Testament, there are examples of Jesus healing blindness, and another time he casts out a spirit of blindness. So even something as simple as blindness can be caused by just a physical problem as well as an evil spirit. And that's where every situation demands that we are very attentive and to both the situation as well as the Holy Spirit. Yeah, beyond that, as Anna said, we cast it out, we speak to it in the authority of Jesus' name.
And speaking to it means we just say, you, whatever you are, go away in Jesus' name. We don't have to know its name, we don't have to think we know its name and say some fancy spirit of this or that. If you really know that kind of thing, okay, go ahead and do that. But it is not necessary. It's really Jesus knows what is there, and whatever is there knows the name of Jesus and knows that at the name of Jesus it has to leave.
I think what Anna is referring to is that some people have these lists of, oh, there's the demon of this, there's the spirit of infirmity, there's a spirit of blindness, there's a spirit of this and of that, and they so try to narrow down, okay, what exactly are we dealing with here? But what I simply do is saying, any and every unclean spirit, you must leave in Jesus' name. That's just it. I just address the unclean spirit. That's what Jesus did. And so, unless, again, you have clear direction from the Holy Spirit, I don't see New Testament reason to go and dig. Let's not dig where there are demons. Let's simply get rid of them. Question that many people have is, okay, well, Christians have sicknesses, non-Christians have sicknesses, we can all be healed from them. What about evil spirits? There are entire denominations who teach that Christians cannot have demons. Now, the New Testament wording is more oppressed by a demon and oppressed by an evil spirit, or then a very specific ailment caused by an evil spirit. And so the number one objection people have is to say, but I'm not possessed. I'm possessed by Jesus. He has bought me. I'm not possessed by a demon. What are you saying? But the New Testament word is oppressed, as we said. That is more troubled by than, oh, I am somehow owned by. And no Christian should be troubled by an evil spirit. But let's then just get rid of it. We do not base our theology on anecdotal evidence, but in my own experience, I've cast out more evil spirits from Christians than from non-Christians. That's simply it. You cannot tell me that Christians cannot have evil spirits. We can. People who hold that view can also not defend it from Scripture. I've had conversations with people who've said that. And I completely agree with them that Christians shouldn't have problems with evil spirits, because we're in the kingdom of God. We have Jesus, we have his authority. But then let's use it and be free. So evil spirits want to limit us, they want to bind, they want to keep people from living in freedom. And so that is something that has great power. We declare freedom over people in the name of Jesus. Freedom from evil spirits. That is how I make it practical, is to declare freedom over people. Now, that is not a word that I find, oh, in the book of Acts, people said, oh, freedom in Jesus' name. But I can just share with you that I have prayed for people who've come to me who said, I have sickness. And then when we've laid hands on them, we've talked to the sickness, and when I said, freedom in Jesus' name, one lady said, whoa, when you said that, something went out of my ears. It's people have really given me many, many times feedback on the word freedom in Jesus' name, the words freedom in Jesus' name. And so that is a way to make it practical when casting out demons. Again, it's very down to earth, but it is very specific. Of course, there are people who have entire ministries devoted to deliverance and who know a lot, who have great experience, and that experience is worth a lot. I am still learning a lot. It is wonderful to be around people who are more experienced, but that should not be a reason for us not to obey Jesus. I mean, the reason why there are people who are experienced is because they started somewhere. It's because they actually follow Jesus in the basics, and we have to just trust that if there are evil spirits out there that we are not in a place to handle, if you know what I mean, then Jesus will simply keep us from that situation, that he would protect us and simply let us not even get near it. But let's obey, step out in faith, and not be fearful, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is from the evil one. So overcome the spirit of fear in the Holy Spirit.
So again, making it really practical, we don't go out looking for demons, yeah, as Hannah said. We don't Yeah, if I'm discipling somebody, I am not saying, oh, so do you think you're oppressed by an evil spirit or so? But when I'm in conversation with that person and they start describing things, like I've said before, thoughts that just come out of nowhere and tell them, kill yourself. I've been in a discipleship relationship with a young lady who is a lovely Christian, and she said out of nowhere there would be this thought in her mind, go and kill yourself. Then you know this is something, this is not her flesh speaking, wanting her to do this. This is a demonic voice in her life. And then in that particular situation, Hanu and I, she actually asked us to pray for her,
minister to her
in that, about this. And we prayed for her. We asked for, just that the word of God would, you know, become real to her, that it would become alive in her, that her mind would be renewed, but also for freedom from these thoughts, and that they would not come and attack her again, in Jesus' name. And she witnessed afterwards that she did not have those thoughts anymore. And there were also some other symptoms, like shaking, that she would experience, that she also didn't experience anymore afterwards. So that would be a situation where, as you're discipling somebody, that might come up, and then you know how to address it.
Yeah. And sometimes it might be that thought returns even after you felt freedom. And that is an important time to then stand firm and say, no, I am free. You cannot come back. Do not yield. Often the enemy comes and wants to test whether we are really going to stand firm in the freedom we have. If you hear a little voice, some extra sounds.
We've been joined by Nanya.
She didn't want to be left out.
So a discipleship relationship is a realistic place for you to encounter someone who has demonic oppression. It's a place where that person is very open to you. It's a place where you have a certain authority in their lives, and as you're helping them to grow in their faith, you can also help them to gain freedom from things like demonic oppression. And especially in the beginning, as you help someone be born again, that is a time where evil spirits might manifest, be it through physical manifestations, be it through crazy, terrible thoughts or fears, and where it's just good to be aware of that. That is really a time of intense spiritual battle, but also a time, an amazing opportunity to help that person start their Christian lives free from any influence of evil spirits. And often we've seen that, especially in connection with baptism, there's often beforehand, there can be, especially those thoughts and so on, can be very strong, like demons giving people terrible thoughts, terrible fears. There can also be physical manifestations during or just after baptism, because, demons just realize, hey, this person is now entering the kingdom of God, their old life, and much of the sin that demons like to cling to is now being put to death. And so they want to almost put on a big show to keep oppressing that person, to cause more fear in that person so that they can still stay. So just something to be aware of as we're baptizing people, as we're helping people being born again. But then also an amazing time to really just pray for complete freedom from anything and everything that might want to oppress that person. One lady that I baptized had really terrible, intrusive thoughts, violent thoughts. She's the most gentle person, but she would suddenly have these horrible, violent thoughts that she felt very ashamed of, very guilty for, and just didn't know how to handle. And I had the joy of baptizing her. And after she came out of the water, I just proclaimed freedom over her. I rebuked any unclean spirit to leave in the name of Jesus, and commanded freedom over this lady. And she told me later that those terrible thoughts are gone 80%. I don't know. I cannot give you a theology or a reason why she says 80%. That's just her testimony. But this is, very clear freedom that she experienced.
Yeah, something that I'd like to share is a lady that I was at a conference, and then a lady came to us and said, "Oh, can we help a friend?" It was me and another guy, and we said, "Oh, sure. How can we help your friend?" And she said, "No, please come with us." And we found her friend lying on the floor, crying, sobbing. And so it was in a way kind of hard to get her story, but finally she calmed down enough and she shared that now she felt so bad and so guilty because she and her husband were trying to have a baby and she couldn't have the baby, and she felt so bad, so guilty for that, guilty about that, and as if she was really failing her husband, and it just was too much for her, but she was sobbing uncontrollably. And so we were a bit like, okay, well, how do we help her? How do we talk to her about this? And so we were not quite sure what to do. And so we started praying over her. And then some things happened that made us think, oh, hang on, there's something else happening here. And so we started proclaiming freedom over her in Jesus' name. She was a Christian, and suddenly she, from the sobbing, turned violent. She started grabbing her own hair and seemed to like try to pull her own hair out, and she's just looked rough and started banging her fists on the floor and almost like a toddler in an adult's body. And so it wasn't this crazy violence, but just a very strange response. And then we knew what we were dealing with. So we started really speaking to this evil spirit. And there was a fight. And then some other people joined us, having seen what happened. So, there was a fight in the sense that we were commanding freedom. But there was clearly something that evil spirit didn't want to leave. It was like we were commanding it to run away, but there was still some rope that it was hanging onto. And then I remember just almost feeling like I ran out of words in English. I was commanding. And then you start saying it this way, you start saying it that way, you get more emotional, you get out of breath, you start sweating this side and that side. And after a few minutes, I really just didn't know what to do. And so I started speaking to her in a tongue. So in like the gift of having a different tongue that the Holy Spirit has given me. And I'm not exactly sure why I started doing that. And so obviously at that time, I wasn't, my mind was not fruitful. I didn't know what I was saying. But that made the evil spirit go even more crazy. And really like sort of, she held her hands out almost as if she didn't want to hear what I was saying. And so that was quite significant for me to like experience the words that I'd been praying in suddenly having such a very real effect in a practical situation. Anyway, just a few minutes later, a more experienced lady came to join us, and she said, "Whoa, hang on. Can I just calm everyone down and please stop?" So we all just got quiet. This lady on the floor slowly regained control over herself, over her own body. And she sat there, and she was, of course, frightened, and she was scared. And so this more experienced person asked us, "So what's going on here? Clearly, this thing is holding on to something. Otherwise, it would have already gone. We've commanded it to go in Jesus' name. Why is it not leaving?" And she then turned to this lady we were ministering to and said, "Do you have sin in your life that you've not repented of? What is this thing holding on to?" And this lady said, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I don't know. I don't think I have sin in my life. I don't want to have sin in my life." And she was frightened and scared. And then I thought back to the bit of a story that she'd shared with us before about not having, being able to have the baby and so on. And I thought, and as this more experienced person asked this lady about this, does she have any sin? And she said, "Do you have somebody you need to forgive?" Because unforgiveness is often a critical thing to repent of, to let go of, before you can really be free. And she said, "No, I don't think there are people in my life I need to forgive." And I said to her, "Do you need to forgive yourself?" And she looked at me and almost with shock, and she thought for a bit, and then she said, "I think so." And so we gave her a moment, and it was about 10, 15 seconds, and suddenly she just visibly relaxed, and she sort of slumped to the ground, and we knew that the battle was won. It was over. That thing left. As she forgave herself, there was nothing to hold on to, and it left. We had already commanded it to go, and it went. That was a very vivid account. That was one of the more loud deliverances I've been a part of. In fact, it was the very first one where I could really say that was certainly a deliverance, and not a was it a healing? Was there an evil spirit? It wasn't a more quiet deliverance. And those times also happen, and they're also sometimes necessary. But Jesus will always have the victory if people are yielded to him. And like in this case, sometimes even in the middle of a deliverance, if that person is willing to yield to Jesus and let go of sin, of course, that might not always be the case, especially for unbelievers. And then they might continue on and not be delivered. But it is the will of Jesus that people are delivered from those things. And just to also add to what Anna said earlier, I think the most deliverances and especially serious manifestations I've seen has been around water baptism. During water baptism, before, like day before, one time we were baptizing people and this lady came and she said, "Please help me." We said, what's happening? She said, "I've come here to be baptized. And then I am battling this fear, these horrible thoughts that I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm convinced I should be doing this. But then all these horrible things come up and there's something pulling me away and there's something saying to me, this is a bad thing, but I know it's a good thing, but it feels like a bad thing." And she was just so confused. And then she said, "And so I drove away home and then I came back and I drove away again and I came back." And we prayed for her and then we said, "No, you're coming with us." And then after she was baptized, she was free from that. But it was such a strong battle in her life before baptism, which Anna has talked about, and I think I joined for that one as well. And of course, water baptism, you can read in Romans 6, it's all about the burial of the old and the rising up of the new life with Jesus, with his being buried with him, being raised up to life with him. And so that burial of the old life is so important. It's where the enemy loses his grip on you, and why there's such a fight often before baptism in water. And one time I remember seeing a lady who was, it looked like she was turning into a whale as she entered the water to be baptized. This manifestation just came up, and she was like looking like a whale, flipping her legs, and it was just amazing. That I thought, wow, that really looks animal-like in how she was manifesting, in a last-ditch attempt of the evil spirit to keep her from being baptized. Anyway, so there's some random testimonies from our side. We hope that it has meant something for you, and we want to urge you to walk in obedience to Jesus. Learn from others around you. Ask people to do things with you. If you feel like, oh, I really want to pray for my friend, my neighbor, my family member who's sick, but I don't know if I'm up for it, ask a friend to go with you. Do it together. Jesus often sent his disciples out two by two. Go with somebody else. That also really strengthens our faith, to be in it with other people. Let's not be isolated.
Yeah. And in all of this, it's ultimately, absolutely about Jesus. It's not about giving demons a lot of place in our thinking, even, because Jesus has overcome them. He has already made a public spectacle of them at the cross. Their time is running out. So as you're also becoming more aware, maybe, of the activity of the evil one and of his demons, do not lose heart. Do not become afraid, because Jesus has overcome, and we are here to proclaim his kingdom to people, but also in the spiritual realm. But we're doing it on the side of the winner, on the side of the one who is so, so, so much stronger than any demon, than any sickness. And yeah, just as we've, yeah, sometimes there's a fear that comes with this topic, but really rest assured, you are with Jesus. And the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, is so amazing that demons and sickness have to flee. So, yeah, God bless you as you step out in faith. As Hanu said, if you have questions about this, if you would like to chat about specific things, if you would like us to help you get started in this, please feel free to contact us. I think I've mentioned my email address in previous podcasts as well, but I'm just going to mention it again. It is annedv1988@gmail.com. Please feel free at any time to email me if you have questions, if you want help, if you need someone to walk this with you. God bless you, and bye-bye. Thank you.